Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome back to Upfront at the Euros on Football Ramble Presents. I'm Flo Lloyd-Hughes.
I'm Chloe Morgan.
And I'm Rachel O'Sullivan.
Group B is underway as Germany tonk Denmark at Brentford and Spain come back to batter Finland and Milton Keynes. Meanwhile, Northern Ireland make history with their first ever goal in a major tournament finals, but Norway serve them up some harsh lessons. We're going to relive all that and look ahead to England's big clash with Norway on Monday. It's been a sensational few days of football, and the weather has been glorious as well. It just feels like the best summer of all time. Let's start in last night's game at Brentford, Rachel. You and I were there. Mm-hmm. The sunsets and the skies, the purple skies, were glorious.
So
and
nice.
The football was pretty good as well.
Pretty good for Germany, yeah. Denmark seemed to just not really turn up, unfortunately. We did talk about how they might struggle to get out of the group, given this was the group of death finally kicking off yesterday. But yeah, I think we probably expected a little bit more from Denmark, given they were in the 2017 final. Worth remembering that they actually are quite a young squad. I think that was summed up perfectly by their number 15, whose name escapes me, came on, I think maybe 65 minutes, got a yellow card, got another yellow card on 90 plus four, got one of the last bits of the game was her being sent off. God love her, like she looked about 15 as well. But, you know,
yeah, poor girl.
It's hard. Like, obviously, Pernille Harder is the star for them, and she couldn't get a sniff of the ball. Germany just would not let that ball through. They were very, very impressive.
Yeah, and every single time she tried to get on the ball, they would close her down as well. Like they were being nasty, and we know that Harder, despite her calm and chill exterior, she can get quite rattled quite quickly, and she was not happy. She was getting pushed around, bustled around, elbowed out the way, and it worked. It worked because I think we spoke in the build-up in our preview shows about how there was going to be such a reliance on Harder for Denmark to get out of this group, but they had a good chance of getting out of this group, especially everything that's happened with Spain and injuries. But last night was a tough one to take, and without Harder firing, it's really hard to see how they get any goals. Signe Brun was just so isolated, felt like she had barely any touches on the ball. Chloe, I had been bigging up Germany a little bit in the last few weeks because when I looked deeper in their squad, I got a little bit terrified. But last night made me quite nervous about the prospect of England potentially facing Germany in the quarterfinal. And now I'm actually kind of hoping it's going to be Spain. I don't know how you feel after last night's result.
I think I've got to agree with that. I mean, nervous is definitely the word. I mean, they just came out in full force. And I think, obviously, they're a team, they're a side that have won the European Championships 8 times previously. And I think they got quite a low profile in the build-up to the tournament. And I think, you know, obviously, the Euros seem to be, the focus seemed to be with us, obviously, which was great. But I think a lot of the teams flew under the radar in terms of what they were getting up to. And, you know, Germany and Denmark, I think that was one of the strongest games that I'd ever seen them play. But I think that was partly due to how poor I felt that Denmark played. But I mean, strength-wise, when you even look at some of the stats of that game, I mean, Germany had 22 shots compared to 6 with Denmark. They had 66% of the possession. Their pass completion was almost double that of Denmark. And and it just felt like, actually, this is going to be one of the sides to watch going through the tournament. And yeah, that does make me, that's squeaky bum time if we end up facing them. Yeah, a little bit of nerves creeping in.
I still think if you put pressure on the defence, then you can find Germany's weakness. But the problem last night was, Rachel, that Denmark just didn't get anywhere near doing that.
No, I think in the first 10 minutes we saw, you know, they put pressure on early. I was actually in the crowd for this one rather than shooting, and I brought a friend with me because Sophie was up in the press box. And the first kind of 10, 15 minutes, he was like, wow, this is going to be a really good game, some really good football. Denmark looked like really good passers of the ball, which they were in the first kind of 10, 15. Even I was saying myself, like, this game looks like it's going to be really transitional. You know, Denmark had a few good chances early on in the beginning. They started quickly. But yeah, like you said, they cut off any kind of flow to Pernille Harder, and she was trying to float as best she could because she doesn't tend to stick in that one position. She was coming back so deep by the second half. Denmark kept trying to play out from the back, which I get that style of football, but Germany's press was so high, especially in the second half. They just kind of created their own problems at times. But looking at Germany, so quick in kind of transitioning from defence to attack. And they looked strong throughout. They weren't hugely tested at the back, but all around they looked pretty savage. And like we said, they hit the bar 3 times, the post twice, the crossbar. They hit the post and the crossbar in the same phase of play at one point. But yeah, they are looking very dangerous.
Speaking of playing out from the back, Northern Ireland losing 4-1 to Norway. That was another scenario where I thought, what are you doing? Like, getting yourselves into trouble time and time again, being too slow, trying to get the ball out of your own third. And Norway were just, like, it was their lucky day. They probably couldn't believe what was happening, because every single time they would just pounce and gobble up whatever Northern Ireland were trying to do. Rachel, you were at this one, weren't you? Give us the kind of inside take of what it was like at St Mary's and the performance as well.
Off the pitch, the crowd were incredible. There was a really nice, loud number of Northern Irish fans in the stands. They were kind of... The overall crowd wasn't brilliant, but, you know, there was a lot of Northern Ireland fans, and they had a really big pocket of them as well, and they were loud and they sang the whole time, and they created a brilliant atmosphere. On the pitch, I mean, I had to admire Northern Ireland's bravery at times. You know, they did try and get up the pitch as much as they could. I think we spoke about Norway's, I don't even want to call it a weakness, but their area that can be exploited being their defence. And I think obviously Northern Ireland knew this, and they tried to exploit that. But like you say, I think just playing out from the back when you've got the likes of Caroline Graham Hansen, Ada Hegerberg, Guro Wrighton, you know, they're all fit players who are going to be on you for 90 minutes. They kept trying it. And I think for me, as boring as it is, Route 1 football, launching it forward, at least you're putting the pressure on the area of Norway that you want to be pressuring. And I think they maybe would have had a little bit more joy if they did that. But at the end of the day, Norway were dangerous and they look good, and it could have been an awful lot more, only for, you know, some great defending and some great goalkeeping.
I think I've got to disagree a little bit on the point about playing out from the back. I think I absolutely agree that it was brave of Northern Ireland to continue doing that when it clearly at times wasn't working. I think the press from Norway was so good and so intense. But I think the difficulty, I suppose, in playing out from the back is that once you've launched it long, it's only going to go down to a sort of 50-50 ball in the middle, and then it's just going to come straight back at you, and you're going to see yourself under another wave of attack. And yeah, the advantage is, I suppose, that the wave of attack is slightly further up the field and you've got more players behind the ball. But I think in terms of the kind of style of football now that's being played, it feels like there is a transition now to trying to work out, you know, problem solve from the back going forwards. And, you know, it is brave. And I think if they really want to start to progress, I mean, this is obviously their first entry into the tournament this year, but, you know, if they're going to start to progress and actually play elite or more elite and get further up the rankings, I think they're going to have to start, you know, making those mistakes, learning from those mistakes and adapting to those. But I suppose they can't adapt until they make those mistakes with these types of teams. So, yeah, it was a tough learning curve for them. But I think, I mean, the result was exactly what you'd expect. I mean, the goal scorers were exactly what you expect with Graham Hansen and Wrighton and Blackstad and, you know, Hegerberg there for the assist as well. And, you know, going two goals down in 15 minutes was probably what you'd expect from the game. But I think overall, I think Northern Ireland can come away from that really proud of themselves, and especially with the Junior Nielsen goal. I mean, I don't think you could expect a better legend to be picking up you know, the first goal for Northern Ireland, and I think that was incredible. And you could see the passion from the players about how much that goal meant to them and how much they'd made history that game. So, you know, credit to them.
Yeah, I mean, we have to shout out 37-year-old Julie Nielsen for getting, yes, on the score sheet. This is the kind of thing that she would have waited a whole lifetime to achieve. The image of her face when she realises the ball's in the back of the net, because the Norwegian goalkeeper was kind of scrambling a little bit. And she was just kind of surrounded by her teammates in that moment and kind of let out this scream looking up to the skies. It was such an incredible moment. What was it like in the stadium, Rachel?
Well, for me, what was frustrating was I'd been down the Northern Ireland defending end for the first half shooting, and I was with some people and they were going to move ends, and I messaged Sophie and said, you know what, I feel like Northern Ireland have a goal in them, I might stay this end. And then I decided to move and they did score, and I missed shooting their first goal at a European Championships, which I was pretty devastated about. But when it did go in, you know, the stadium erupted, very, very special. You know, I feel like even the Norway fans were applauding and happy for them. So yeah, it was a great moment. Really glad I at least got to see it, never mind if I didn't get to shoot it.
And Kenny Shields, as always, delivering us some cracking lines in the post-match press conference. The man is just a walking, talking entertainer. And we all expected, I think we said it the other day, we expected something funny to come out of it. On Thursday night, I forgot what day it was, the story was about the fact that a Scandinavian referee was picked to ref, a Finnish referee was picked to ref a fellow Scandi team, which is like, you know, a reach, I think. And then this quote, which I just think is hilarious. He said, "We've created a monster," which just reminds me of kind of like Frankenstein. but essentially, he used quite a strange phrase to say that we've kind of, you know, dropped ourselves in the deep end too quickly. And shockingly, I sort of a little bit agree with him in the sense that I think it is a bit of an excuse for some tactical decisions I think could have gone differently, like stop playing out from the back when Norway are just absolutely swarming you. But it is really hard for a team like Northern Ireland when they're playing in a major tournament for the first time against nations who are playing with fully professional sides, with players that and countries that either have some of them fully professional leagues or fully professional clubs within semi-pro / professional leagues. And that development is so far away for so many of their players. and the obvious sad news that they lost Simone Magill out for the tournament. Still waiting to see what the extent of her injury is. But I do, in that kind of, not the creator monster, but the other half of that sentence about, you know, playing big teams, it is really tough. But at the same time, we've seen Northern Ireland get good results against more developed nations. So they are better than, I think, what they showed on Thursday night.
But also, like, we knew that. We knew that going into it. We don't need an excuse. We know what the situation is in Northern Ireland. We know they don't want to just come in to make up the numbers, but we have to look at the fact that them reaching this a major tournament is incredible. And I know the results on the pitch might be difficult, but I don't feel the need for them to have to make excuses. They've already done something incredible by reaching the tournament. And we know that they're going to go out there and put absolutely everything into every performance, which is massively commendable, enjoyable to watch in the case of seeing teams knowing that they've overachieved and they're here on this massive stage and they're standing next to these, you know, Ballon d'Or winners, and really going for it and really putting up a fight to them. And, you know, I thought, you know, they defended Ada Hegerberg really well. She didn't get a goal. She was desperate for a goal. She had plenty of chances, but they really harried her. And I just, they put in commendable performances, and I don't think we need to come out and make excuses after matches. You know, they're gonna learn so much from this.
Yeah, I think I agree. With all his press conferences, I feel like Controversial Kenny just, I don't think
love
he really sets
nickname.
The tone of,
love that nickname.
Of what's really happened. And I know he has a fantastic relationship with the players, but I also think there seems to be lacking a sort of a distinct sense of positivity and sort of history creation about this tournament and what it means for the players themselves and also for the country. And every time we go into these sort of the press situations, I feel like the focus of what's come out of it is not actually what they've achieved or the positives to take home from the games, but it's actually what is he going to say now? And that's where I don't want the focus to be, because it does detract from what has been achieved. So for me as a player, I'd just be thinking, can you just not do the press conference anymore? That'd be great, and get someone like Rachel Furniss to go down there. And sort of instill a bit more of that inspiring type vibe that I think the players want to see.
A player I do want to shout out, because she had an unreal performance, is Abby McGee, 21-year-old playing for Linfield in the Northern Ireland leagues. Oh my word, she was putting her body on the line. She must have done like 2 or 3 last-ditch challenges. It could have been probably, you know, like 6 or 7-1 if it wasn't for some of what she did on Thursday night. So, you know, there's lots to look forward to, I think, and lots of exciting young prospects in that team. And we have to also, you know, talk about the unfortunate loss of another very good player in this tournament. Within a short space of time, we obviously lost Alexia Piteous, and we've lost Simone Magill, and I just hope it's not a really long injury, because she's just literally like a week ago signed for Aston Villa. So Carla Ward must be also tearing her hair out. But it was really sad seeing her, like, really emotional, obviously in so much pain, and also knowing in that moment as a player, Chloe, I mean, you must know, having had injuries over the space of your career, like that moment when something happens and you just know, like, this is bad and I'm not going to be playing for a while.
Yeah, it's a different level of realisation. I mean, and the same thing happened to me in one of the last games that I played in February. I mean, I ruptured my ligament and screwed up a few things, and there were some bones floating around. And I mean, that happened in the fourth or fifth minute of the game. And I, because you never know sort of like when you're going to get an opportunity to play sometimes. I carried on until half time, but I knew in my heart of hearts that something wasn't right. And I think, you know, I came off at half time and I was in absolute bits, not through the pain. Well, the pain was enough, but just the emotional realization, I think, of what that means for your career and what kind of rehab you're looking at. Because in that moment, you just don't know how serious it is, but you just know that something's really significantly wrong. And you just don't know how that's going to affect your chances going forwards, or when your next play, or how your next play again. And I can't even imagine the sort of pain and heartbreak of being in something like the Euros and feeling that same way. So my heart goes out to her.
Yeah, we wish Simone Magill all the best.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Another team who's lost a key part of their squad is Spain. Alexi Putellas was there in the Milton Keynes sunshine. I would love her take on Milton Keynes and see what she thinks about it. I mean, it was a really good crowd. A really good crowd, I have to say. Just over 16,000. It was a record for a Euros game that didn't involve the host nation. Milton Keynes came out for this game. Finnish support travelled in really good numbers. I would say the Spanish fans, there were definitely fewer of them. It was more the locals, I think, repping the Spanish team than anything. But yeah, really good atmosphere, and I'm excited for the games that they're going to be hosting for the rest of the tournament. Obviously, UK's biggest Asda next door as well. So
nice.
You've got everything you need there. But the game itself, I actually predicted 3-1 before the game started. I was fairly close to this. But I actually was still really surprised when Finland scored. We know that Spain play a very high line. So Finland was smart in the way that they played. Just try and play long balls over the top, catch them on the break and beat them basically in a foot race to get there and finish it. And that's exactly what Linda Solstrom did. And the Spanish TV commentary team were right next to me. So the reaction from them when that goal went in, because they'd just done this big, it was the first minute of the game, they'd just done this big intro, they were so excited, you know, like Spain kicking off, and then it was just like literally this noise. Oh. And I was like, I just looked over, and Vera Vitek was there, who used to play for the Spain team, was a big part of their squad, now plays in Italy. Her face just like dropped, and it was like, oh God, like literally the air being popped out of a balloon. And I thought, okay, like, and then minutes later, Adeline Engman had a very similar chance, and it could have been 2-0 straight, ball over the top, chasing on the right-hand side, just wide of the post. But then pretty much after that moment, it was one-way traffic. And I have to commend Finland for what they did. But their defending was poor. They didn't really track their markers very, very well. Spain scored 3 headers, and I think on all 3 of those headers, the marking could have been a little bit better. But I mean, what a comeback from Spain, because it could have been another story on Friday.
Well, it's a surprise, first of all. Like, we kind of expected Finland to be difficult to break down, but I think Spain's movement makes it so hard. When you look at those goals, they're just so quick, and the way they play football is just so quick. It kind of felt a bit like they were running rings around Finland. But I think we're going to see this from a lot of teams when they're coming up against, you know, if they're the underdog. We've seen it in a couple of games now. They come out of the blocks quickly, and if they can get a couple of goals early on, you know, that massively swings the pressure onto the other team. And Finland nearly did that. I think getting themselves a 2-goal cushion maybe would have made their defence just that little bit sharper. But yeah, really impressive by Spain. 3 headers as well, which, you know, I wouldn't have expected. But yeah, I'm impressed. I think they said there that Alexi Putellas kind of drove them on to victory. And, you know, sometimes that could be quite dangerous, having something extra to fight for. So yeah, a very, very solid win for Spain. Their possession stats, the number of shots they had, like, incredible, dangerous. But at the same time, Finland, probably the weakest team in the group. So it'd be interesting to see how they get on against a physical Germany, who are very good at shutting down those passes. There was, you know, when Germany played Denmark, there was so little space between the lines. I just, for Denmark, they couldn't get in anywhere. And I think if Germany can do that to Spain and close down those opportunities, it could make for a very, very exciting match.
I think it was, I was really impressed with Finland. I thought, you know, they are one of the weakest teams in the competition. You know, to come out against one of the strongest teams in the competition and put away a goal in the first minute and, you know, take advantage of a defensive lapse and almost take advantage of a second defensive lapse, I thought was pretty powerful. And I think I wouldn't be surprised, obviously, Spain being a little bit shaky, obviously not having Pateas there in the squad. But obviously being in the stands, I've got to agree with Rachel, that would have been an extra boost for them. But I think the game was also a bit of a stance that, you know, whilst they don't have one of their best players, they're still going to come out and absolutely destroy teams and, you know, not take any prisoners. So, yeah, it was a dominant performance. I don't think there was anything too controversial about what happened in the game, apart from just that first minute goal. They're definitely in full force, definitely not being put off by one of their strikers being away. And I think they're still on track to create absolute havoc in this tournament. So, yeah, exciting.
Yeah, I gave Denmark such a good chance of getting out of that group. But I think based on both those matches yesterday, I'm now a bit like, ooh, yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, Mappy Leon was sensational yesterday. She looked a bit shaky, actually, in those first 10 minutes. Finland were doing really well to put her under pressure and kind of catch her out. But then her delivery into the box for the free kick assist, that it was then, I think, Bonmati. Oh no, it was the ball in from the left that then Bonmati headed in, and then I think it was Garcia that then headed in the free kick. Yeah, really, really, really good delivery, and yeah, sensational. A few bits of updates, some housekeeping. Unfortunately, Lotte Moy has had to leave the England cap after testing positive for COVID-19, which is a massive shame. And hopefully she'll be back, because I think the Northern Ireland game, depending on the result on Monday, would be a really good opportunity to see someone like her get a chance to play in this tournament. We've got 2 big games on Monday, obviously Austria versus Northern Ireland and England versus Norway in Brighton. Based off that slightly terrifying Norway performance against Northern Ireland, how are we feeling about that game?
Yeah, slightly nervous. I think we pegged this as the big game in the group before we even saw them play. We knew it was going to be a tough game. And the performance against Northern Ireland has just solidified that for us. I do think England will play better, but I also think Norway are still going to be a very, very tough opposition. So yeah, it's going to be a good match, whatever happens. But as an England fan, I'm nervous.
I mean, I'm absolutely buzzing for it. I'm going to head down to the stadium in Brighton on Monday with my parents to go and watch the game, which I'm looking forward to. But I think, you know, Norway will have seen how we can be a little bit harried under pressure, especially at the start of the game. I know we sort of struggled with that for the first 10, 15 minutes in the opening game. And we can be a little bit guilty of making mistakes at the back under pressure. So I think that that will be something that I'll be looking at. And potentially, I think Norway will be looking at to try and sort of take control in the first opening minutes of the game, maybe pounce on mistakes, and obviously we're playing out from the back, so to put us under pressure a little bit more. So I am a little bit wary, but I also think that we're going to rise to the occasion. I think you know, we did have a strong performance in that opening game, and whilst this will be tough for opposition and probably the toughest in the group, you know, we need to make sure that we're coming out on top. And you know, a game like this could really determine whether we finish the group first or second in terms of maybe goal difference. So that will definitely be in the minds of the players on Monday.
Yeah, it's going to be a nervy one, I think, but I'm really excited. And to be honest, I really hope not only England finish top of their group, because then they have a better chance of probably avoiding Germany, but I also think having a quarter final at Brentford would be a little bit disappointing, because it's not as big as Brighton. So that is, I think it would just be like carnage, because everyone would just be like, ah, so overexcited.
So logistics so wise, another if England could just do that for us, that'd be great.
Yes, logistics. Saturday, we've got Portugal versus Switzerland and Netherlands versus Sweden in Sheffield, which should be an absolute classic. And then Sunday night, we've got Belgium versus Iceland and France versus Italy in Rotherham. That is it for today's episode of Upfront. Join us on Tuesday. We're going to be bringing reaction to England's second group game against Norway. And remember, we'll be here three times a week throughout the tournament, so make sure you subscribe to Football Ramble Presents so you don't miss an episode. In the meantime, if you've got any questions, tweet us at Football Ramble, at Floyd Tweet for myself, at Girls on the Ball for Rachel, or at Morgie _89. And we will see you all on Tuesday.
Upfront is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking out?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more,
then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.